Welcome to This Week in Golf, and let's wrap up the U.S. Open and Bryson DeChambeau, Rory McIlroy, and everything that just transpired over the weekend. It's Tuesday. It's been a day. I've let everything sink in so it can marinate, and here we go. The most famous man in golf at this point in time appears to be Bryson DeChambeau. And Saturday, he had a great round, and he was really interacting with the fans, and it started becoming apparent that, you know, this is the next huge, huge personality in golf. And a lot's transpired in the last few years for him. You know, he's gone from a guy, kind of the scientist that, for whatever reason, I don't know why a lot of people didn't like. You know, I've never had much of a negative personality on him, but a lot of people have for whatever reason. And now he's turning into this super likable guy, and everybody's behind him. And of course, he did win the tournament. So a lot, I guess, could have changed if Rory would have came through on Sunday instead of Bryson. But he did not, and here we are. So let's recap it. Saturday, he has a great round. He's interacting with all the fans. He's doing all the Bryson things, the long drive. He was actually hitting a lot of fairways on Saturday, and he shot 3 under 67. He ends up giving himself a 3-shot lead going into Sunday. And then on Sunday, right before the round starts, I think like a half hour before he tees off, his driver, he measured it, and he wasn't happy with, I guess, the face. They said it cracked. It didn't crack. I guess his face caves in a little bit. He uses this driver. It's a long drive driver made by a company called Crank, Crank with a K. Look up their stuff online. You can look up their videos. Their driver looks similar to the Ping, the latest Ping driver. It kind of has these little, like, what would we call them, fins? There's like 3 fins on each side. And the fins on the Crank driver are a little bit bigger than the Ping driver. You know, make it aerodynamic as you're swinging. But this is a driver that all the long drive hitters use. And it has, I guess it's better for high swing speed, high ball speed as well. So if you're hitting, you know, 190 mile an hour ball speed, you'll have a tendency to break a lot of the drivers that are on the market or crack the faces of these drivers. So they make this driver it's made differently. You can look it up in all the different, I have, but I don't recall the details. I'm not a nerd like Bryson. Well, I am a nerd, but not like Bryson. So this driver is meant for higher ball speeds. But anyways, I guess he measures it, and as he measured the face angle or something, he noticed it wasn't performing the way he wanted to. So he changes it out at the last minute. And then after the round, he said that the driver head he changed it to, even though it's the same driver head, he needs to break them in a little bit. And it says it takes about 60 to 80 balls to break the face in, and he had not done that. So he hit like 10 balls with it. And then he gets out, and he goes out and basically doesn't hit a fairway all day long. He hit 5 fairways all day long. So he was constantly in the sand on the right or the sand on the left. And all that sand has some, what do they call it, the wire grass in it. And so he kept getting all these different and funky lies. But he kept getting up and down. He hit a lot of greens. He was clutch. But I think actually, well, he was clutch at getting up and down, but to a degree he was playing defensive, in my opinion, you know, with the lead. So he wasn't, you know, going for as much stuff or just, you know, you play a little differently when you're in the lead versus when you're chasing. And Rory was chasing, and so Rory was freewheeling, and Rory caught fire. He birdied. Well, there was a very interesting moment. So Bryson was ahead by 1, and he had flown over the green on the 8th hole, and he has this impossible chip. So it looks like he's probably going to get a bogey, and he's 7 under at that point. So it looks like he's probably going to fall to 6. And he's standing there, and the ball had gone over the green, and he was kind of, the 9th hole is a par 3. So Rory had hit it on the green on the par 3. And Bryson, I guess, was close enough, within 100 yards probably of the 9th green. So he waited for Rory to putt. So Rory ends up sinking like a 30-footer for birdie and gets to 6 under. And then Bryson's standing there off the green with this impossible chip, and it's not looking good for him. So it's looking like it's going to be tied with 9 holes left to play. But no, Bryson chips it on to about 15 feet and he ends up sinking the putt. And it's one of those ones, you know, in the US Open, you got to make clutch par putts. And he was pumped. He's pumping the fists the whole bit. I mean, he was really into it. You know, he was pumping the fist and pointing at the crowd on Saturday, and it continued on Sunday. And so that was kind of a key moment. But that's when Rory caught fire. Rory had birdied 9. He birdies 10, 11, and I think not 12, but 13. He birdies 4 out of 5 holes, and he ends up 2 strokes ahead. So he was 8 under at one point, and Bryson had fallen to 6. And I think, you know, for the most part, when you're in that role, now all of a sudden Bryson's chasing, right? And then Rory gets tight. And we all know what happens down the stretch. Although it's a little bit more dramatic than that if you like stopped and looked at it, because Rory missed a short putt on 16. That was the first short putt. He missed 2, right? He missed on 16 and 18, but he missed a short putt. And the right after he misses that putt, Bryson had hit it on the green on the par 3, and Bryson 3 putts for bogey. So Bryson could have got, you know, way back in the tournament then, but he gets a bogey, and then, you know, all this drama unfolds coming down the stretch, and it was literally like you were hanging on every shot down the stretch. And for me, it was like, you know, there's this whole thing with the PGA Tour and LIV Golf and the back and forth. And, you know, back in the day, I used to follow the UFC, and the UFC had this show called The Ultimate Fighter. And the UFC was popular, but they started the show, The Ultimate Fighter. It was a reality show, and it was like a house, and you got eliminated from the house by getting beat up, which I loved. I like the concept of that. You know, everywhere else you get eliminated by a vote or whatever. This one you actually got eliminated by getting beat up. But in the finals, the final ends up being Stefan Bonner against Forrest Griffin. And they go in this slugfest for 3 rounds. They stand there and they just punch each other back and forth. And I think Bonner ends up winning. I don't even know. Maybe Forrest Griffin run. I don't recall. But that fight and that event, because it was a free event for the UFC Ultimate Fighter, that propelled the UFC to a whole new level. The arenas got bigger. The events got bigger. The stars got bigger. And to me, that's what this was. This was the PGA Tour, the old, and LIV, the new, and it could have gone either way. You have this slugfest coming down, shot for shot. The PGA's biggest guy in Rory. Well, you know, Scheffler's the best player, but Rory's probably still the biggest name on the PGA Tour, going against Bryson, and Bryson's out there pumping the crowd up, and he's been having a great year, and he shot 59 last year, and he's doing all these videos on YouTube, and he's got an army of fans following him like he's Tiger Woods or Arnold Palmer. Not quite, but people do follow him around a lot. And so you have this back and forth going, and it ends up going to Bryson. Rory helped out by missing the putts, but, you know, again, 18th hole, Bryson gets in trouble. He ends up in the bunker. He's got this tough shot, and you're thinking, okay, Rory's in the clubhouse at 6 under. Bryson's in the bunker. He's got a 1-stroke lead. Even if he bogeys, we get an 18-hole playoff, which probably a lot of people wanted. We wouldn't have been sad with an 18-hole playoff with Bryson and Rory. But Bryce and I'm thinking, you know, to myself, oh, he'll hit it out of the bunker. He'll get a 20-foot putt, and maybe he makes it, maybe he doesn't. But no, he pulls off the shot of a lifetime there and hits it to 4 feet away and ends up winning the tournament. He's pumped. He's pumping the fist again. Oh, there's a good video of it's like a Twitter post or an Instagram post, and it's Bryson working out in the gym, and he's got the pull down cable, and he puts this like metal piece on the end, and he's like signing an autograph, and he's like signing the autograph, and then he's like tipping his cap, and he's got like a resistance band, and it's all the, and he's like fist pumping when you make a putt, and he's got a barbell in his hand. It's just funny stuff that he's doing, but that's, he was really pumping the fist on Saturday and Sunday, of course, when he won. So there it is, you know, that's where we are now. And so there's like a lot of interesting things I'll just go through with Bryson. I said it earlier, he's always got a lot of fans following him around. when I saw him at Torrey Pines at the U.S. Open, it was, I think, 3 years ago now. He wasn't even playing that good, and that's when he was doing the, you know, lifting a lot of weights, and I think he got up to like 230 pounds or something ridiculous like that. But there were so many people walking around following him that day. Just, and he might have been five strokes out of it, and he had a huge crowd. And that was 3 years ago. So there's the crowd. The other one is going from this hated player to the most loved player. And I touched on earlier, I don't get why people hate Bryson, but they did for some reason. And that's very similar to Jack Nicklaus. Jack Nicklaus, if you don't know, he was kind of an obtuse personality when he first came on the scene. You know, he was going against Arnold Palmer. He was kind of the up-and-coming guy, and he didn't have a lot of personality. And he ends up developing personality and becoming one of the most liked players of all time. So there you go. And now Bryson, I guess, hated to one of the most loved. Another point, Crushers. The Crushers is his team on Live. He was wearing the logoed shirt and the hat. I think that they're probably going to sell a lot of merch now over the weekend for the Crushers gear. As far as his YouTube goes, I just looked this morning. He has 700,000 subscribers, so not even a million subscribers yet. Not even. That's a good amount of subscribers. But his videos, they get anywhere from 600,000 views to a million views, and that's just going to continue to grow. He has all kinds of videos I've watched in the past. The most compelling to me is he'll team up with someone like an LPGA player or a YouTube star, and they'll play from the ladies' tees, and they're trying to break 50 as a two-man scramble. I watched one with a long drive guy, and they were trying to break 50. I think they shot 53. He said the lowest is 50 so far, and they haven't been able to do it yet, but that's some of the content. He played with he got the cheapest set of clubs from Walmart, and he plays around with them. He did an entire round where he was mic'd up, which I think is kind of where the future is going to go with that. As far as Live goes, a lot of the players will be mic'd up the entire time. And kind of one other point about this YouTube that I've noticed, and I brought it up before in the podcast, is, you know, the PGA players, they're not allowed to do that. Well, I guess they're allowed to have a podcast or maybe a show, but they're not allowed. They are heavily monitored on what kind of content they can do online and share. And so the PGA Tour is kind of, again, well, in comparison, they're like the UFC. They're a closed shop. If you're a fighter in the UFC, you're under contract with the UFC, and whatever, if you make them mad for some reason or you go against them, they'll kick you out and you have no other place to fight. And that's what the PGA is, a closed shop. That's what I mean by the closed shop term. And Liv is not, obviously. Liv is getting players with the bigger personalities and letting the personalities shine. And I think, again, this is where golf is going. Whether Bryson won last week or not, this is where it's going. You look at a guy like Cantlay, who's buttoned up, stoic, love him, but just no personality whatsoever the entire day. And then you look at a guy like Bryson, who's, you know, got a YouTube channel and pumping the crowd up and trying to get more views on videos. And I think for the younger crowd and the kids that are coming up, that's going to be where they go now. It's kind of this name, image, and likeness. We see it in the WNBA with a couple of the players. Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark are super famous by the time they get to the WNBA. And we're going to start seeing that with probably NBA players, football players, and to a lesser extent, baseball players, and of course, golfers. So that's where it's going. Cantlay, speaking of him, too bad, man. I mean, the guy was right there all day long, and it seemed like every time he kind of got to a point where he could have made a putt to get him over the hump, he'd miss it and then get a bogey the next hole. But he's a fab. I mean, that guy's putting stroke is A1. I love watching his putting stroke. And then the thing I loved about kind of that final five holes between Rory and Bryson, it reminds me of like when I'm playing, and probably when you're playing as well. Like if you're having a pretty good day, let's say you're having a good day and you get to like the 13th or 14th hole and you start thinking ahead, you know, this could go really well. It happens to me all the time at Torrey Pines. I get to play the South course at Torrey Pines, and I always want to break 80 there. If I can break 80 there, man, it's a good day. That's a great day. And so I get to the point a lot of times after the 13th hole going into 14 where I'm, you know, 6 over, 7 over. And my mind goes, you know, if I can, because I've played those last 5 or 6 holes out there, even par, 1 under par. Not a lot, but every now and then I can do it. And so I start thinking to myself, I'm 6 over par. I'm 5 over par after 13 holes on the South course. It's a U.S. Open course. It's a very difficult course. And I think to myself, I can really have a great day. And both Rory and Bryson were in that position. And, you know, I put myself in that position in my head, not in the U.S. Open, but just thinking I can break 80. And I don't know, out of 10 times, maybe 3 of them go good and the other 7 go bad. And again, it's the South course. You can be in the middle of the fairway and still get a double bogey. Things can go south really quick on the South course. So that's kind of how these guys were. And that's kind of how I saw it as they were coming down. You know, like both guys are in a position and you know one of them is going to, something's going to happen for one of them, maybe for both of them. And they kind of go back and forth. Rory's a hole ahead, but it goes back and forth down the wire. And I feel for Rory, man, because I've been there. Like I said, if it's 10 times, 7 of them I'm failing. And the other 3, I'm successful. And that's how Bryson was. And one of the videos I loved watching, I don't know if a lot of people saw it, but when Bryson went into the tent to sign his scorecard, everybody saw Rory sitting in the tent with his hat up and his hands on his head and can't believe, you know, what happened. And then you see Bryson when he goes in there to sign his card and Pavon's in there and he'll have these moments where he's like signing the card, shaking a hand, and then he has this look of like he still can't believe it happened, or he's like kind of replaying what had happened back in his head, like, oh my God, I can't believe I hit that shot and got away with that and that was a great shot. And you know, that's how we all feel in the car driving home after we do something great, like break 80 at Torrey Pines, right? I'll be like, oh my God, I hit the greatest shots. Or you're the complete opposite. So let's talk about Rory and then we'll wrap it up. So Rory, you know, probably the biggest loss of his career as far as, you know, missing those 2 putts. And he did not, he also hit a bad shot on 15, a bad tee shot that put him over the green, and then he chipped on and made a bogey there. So he ends up, you know, having that hot streak where he bogeys 4 out of 5 holes, but then at the end he bogeys 3 out of the last 4. And that's unfortunate for him. I will just say this, after the round, he just bailed. He didn't go to the media tent. And it's always funny to me when you go on YouTube, and the only people that complain about someone skipping the media and not talking to the media is the media. Like, well, what did you want him to say? I mean, we all know what he would have said. I think they just want him to maybe cry on camera so they can say, oh, I asked the question that made him cry, or who knows what. But I don't fault that guy at all for bailing. And then now he's withdrawn from the Travelers, which is this weekend, which is an elevated event for the PGA Tour. And he said he's not going to play again. I think it's like 3 or 4 weeks until the Scottish Open, which is, he won that last year, so he'll be the defending champ, and then the following weekend's the British Open. And I'll just say, you know, we had this whole thing with Grayson Murray a few weeks back. If you're not familiar with Grayson Murray, he's a player. He's on the 16th hole. He leaves the 16th hole on, I think, a Friday and ends up committing suicide. And, you know, when we look at people, we just see them as everything's going great for them. They're a pro golfer. They're on the PGA Tour. And, you know, look at this guy like Grayson Murray. He probably makes $2 million a year by the time he pays his taxes and his caddy and all the travel that goes on. The guy's probably making like, I don't know, he's probably bringing home $100,000 a year. He's probably making what most people make, you know, in the regular job. And he's got all this stress on himself. And, you know, he's on the road. He's alone. He's probably doom scrolling all the time, feeling bad about himself. And by the way, I've had a close friend that committed suicide, and he wrote us a note afterwards. It was a very nice note, but It was also very, like, I don't know if frivolous is the right word, but it was preventable. You know, some of the things he wrote in the note and some of the ways his mind was operating was not correct. And I would say it was easily solvable, or at least easily solvable that he didn't have to kill himself. He probably still would have, you know, had a lot of mental problems and everything, but you just never know. And this guy, Grayson Murray, same exact thing. And, you know, so when you see a guy like Rory lose, and then the media and all the people on Twitter piling on like a bunch of jackasses, it's like, dude, yeah, okay, Rory's worth $100 million, but, like, dude, like, his peers haven't shown him a lot of respect as far as the behind the scenes with the LIV and PGA, what's kind of going on between those two things. And Rory's kind of got put in the middle, and he stood up for the PGA Tour, and the PGA Tour kind of turned their back on him. And now the PGA Tour Players Association won't allow him to be have a prominent position or a vote within the board. And he's going to get a divorce, and now he's not getting a divorce. He's back on it. Now he's losing the U.S. Open. So, man, and now the guy's going on a 3-week hiatus because of what just happened, man. So just, like, stop being a dick if you're on Twitter or you're one of those people or you have that opinion. Like, chill out, okay? Like, yeah, the guy's got a lot going for himself. And I have a saying, I never feel bad for millionaires, but, you know, let's just take it easy. Be nice to people. That's all. And, yeah, so I'll just leave one other thought, and that's recording yourself on video. And I think that's what Bryson has going for him and why a lot of people respect him now. And he even said a lot of, oh, I've really grown as a person. And he kept saying YouTube. But it does make a big difference when you record this. Like, I'm recording this podcast right now, and before I post it on YouTube, I will actually go and watch it, and I won't like it. And I'll think, what am I, you know, I'm rambling or whatever, however you self-critique yourself, but it makes you a better person. And that is what happened with Bryson. He's obviously a better person. He's the champ. He's the new face of golf. And that, my friends, is This Week in Golf.
Hey, it's Jeremy Callahan, and thanks for listening to This Week in Golf. Make sure and hit subscribe so you can get all the latest news and analysis from Golf BPM.